Well, good morning, everyone, and thank you for having me. It's a real honor to be speaking at such a special event with all of you dedicated disciples and truth seekers. I remember my first spiritual renewal week was more than 10 years ago when my family and I visited the village for the first time, and we had no idea that such a week of upliftment could exist on this planet. The classes, the music, the inspiration and performances were like nothing we had ever experienced, and we literally felt a spiritual high from being in these vibrations with all these joyful people, and especially being in Swamiji's presence. We could feel like it was the most important thing we could be doing for ourselves spiritually. And so my family and I made it a tradition to come back for this week every year. Except when they found out I was speaking, none of them showed up. Oh, well, it's probably for the better. I was remembering how to meditate class that my little sister and I attended. We were always the youngest people at the classes, and Diksha was teaching this one. And at one point, she asked the group, "Why do we tense and relax the body before we meditate?" Everybody was silent. I guess no one knew the answer. And I was 14 years old, and I thought, I'm going to give this a shot. So I raised my hand and said, to help relax the body? And she said, "Very good, to help relax the body." I was like, okay, I guess the spiritual path is a lot simpler than I thought. Thanks to Diksha, I embarked on the spiritual path. I wanted to base my talk this morning on something that Sister Gyanamata said. She was Master's most advanced woman disciple, and she said many great things, but this particular quote is on right attitude. She said, "These three instructions plus meditation contain the only rule of life that any disciple needs: detachment, realization of God as the giver, and unruffled patience. As long as we fail in any one of these three, we still have a serious spiritual defect to overcome." I love how she says serious spiritual defect. It's true. So the first attitude, detachment. I don't think this attitude is achieved by simply deciding to be carefree about whatever comes your way. If that were true, it would mean all of the world's hippies were one third of the way from self-realization. And who knows, maybe they are. I think Ananta is an exception. When I think of detachment, it makes me think of someone who has overcome all of their likes and dislikes, who has no more egoic desires, and who wishes only to do the will of God. And this reminds me of a beautiful disciple, Maria Warner, who was a disciple for 30 years, and she lived here at Ananda Village since 1980. And she fought cancer for 10 years, and toward the end of her life, she could feel that cancer moving to her brain. And many of us know the beautiful story that her husband, Devrishi, shared with us, that she said something that many of us have memorized and we could all use as a spiritual practice. As Devrishi was wheeling her into the room to receive an MRI, she could feel his concern for her. And sensing that, she said to him kindly but firmly, "Detach yourself, control the reactive process, live the teachings." And she was only thinking of him in that moment, not of herself. And how did she achieve such a deep state? She was obviously practicing detachment herself because she was enduring great physical pain. She was accepting the fact that her life was just about to end, which it did 3 weeks later. And she was able to stay even-minded under such a challenging circumstance. I think ultimately it came from a life dedicated to God and her guru, to having a daily practice of meditation, particularly Kriya Yoga, where you can work with the rising and falling currents in the deep spine, as we're told are directly related to our attachments to this world. And I'm sure that Maria experienced deep states of stillness in her meditations where God's peace could be felt, and in that, bringing it into her day, and also realizing that this world of duality or light and dark is really only just God's light and shadows. And Swamiji said that Maria achieved a state of maturity that where nothing could touch her. And several times she told Devarshi when he expressed concern, "Don't worry, I'm free." And she was a beautiful example of someone who lived the teachings daily. I had an experience where I was able to control the reactive process in a very simple way by the use of a technique that I learned from Anandi and Bharat when they taught a class at the village called Happiness and Success through Yoga Principles. They explained that if you're in a challenging situation and you need to raise your energy quickly, or you need to move through sort of a blockage of unwillingness, all you need to do is take a deep inhalation, just imagine or feel the energy in your spine rising up, and then cast that energy into the spiritual eye, the point between the eyebrows. And then hopefully you can meet that situation with better energy. You could even use this technique while you're in a conversation with someone and things are becoming challenging. It's not like the person is going to see you go, "Om Swaha, Om." You might be doing that inwardly, but they're not going to see it. But that's not when I used the technique. It came to me to be helpful in a different circumstance. It's when I had a very bad case of poison oak, especially on my forearm. And I had tried almost every kind of remedy. If you've ever had poison oak, you know it's oily, itchy, irritating, and it makes activities like meditating and sleeping almost impossible. So you start to lose your sanity. So I was very desperate. And there was one remedy I hadn't tried because I was avoiding it. Someone told me, "Put your arm underneath hot water to draw the oils out." And just the thought of that made my body cringe because I knew it would be painful. So I had to do it. And I was there. I was in the shower and thinking, "Okay, here I gotta go for this." I started turning up the heat because I was used to having cold showers, not to irritate the rash. And I finally got the courage to put my arm underneath that hot water, and just my whole body tensed up. It was incredibly painful. Every body cell wanted to yell out in pain. And all of a sudden, I remembered that technique, and I took a deep breath in and just offered up that experience to the spiritual eye. And as I exhaled, to my surprise, I looked down at my arm and there was just no pain. I felt completely better. There was no irritation. I actually felt totally calm and centered. I just stood there in the shower completely shocked at how well this technique worked. I didn't think it was going to work that good. And, you know, one moment ago, I was so engrossed and overwhelmed by what was happening to me. A moment later, it was completely gone. So it was very effective. The second right attitude that Sister Gyanamata mentioned was realization of God as the giver. To me, this means realizing and seeing that God is the giver behind everything, all situations that come to us, even the very challenging obstacles. And when I think of someone who really embodied this quality, it reminds me of our dear friend from the community, Andy Lyon, who passed away last year only on August 30th. He was only 24 years old when he passed, and he had fought cancer for about 5 years. And I had the privilege of living with Andy at the young adults group home that we had at the time while he lived here. And I also got to work with him at Master's Market. And he was kind of like a brother to me in many ways. And the whole time that I knew Andy, he never even once mentioned that he had cancer. I sort of heard it in the distance from other people that he was sick and fighting something, but I just assumed whatever it was, he was doing great with it because he never showed any sign of weakness. And so at one point, while Andy was living at the village, he decided he wanted to walk the Pacific Crest Trail, which is more than 2,500 miles from Mexico to Canada. That's a challenging journey for someone completely healthy, let alone someone fighting cancer. And he did complete it over 6.5 months, but it took great courage to set such a goal and to go for it, not knowing what was going to come of his body, the physical challenges that he went through. I wish I had more time to tell about his inspiring journey, but his mom said that he wanted to be out in nature with Divine Mother's energy. He wanted to be in the fresh air and sunlight, which he knew would be so good for him. And he wanted to be out in a place where people weren't worrying about him. And he didn't want to have that label that I have cancer. And so he was able to be free of that while he hiked. And while he was on the trail, every morning he would see the sunrise. And he would look at it and just calmly say to himself, another day. And he was just so grateful for the time that he had. He really lived in the present moment because he didn't know when his time would end. And the way that he accepted his karma is just incredibly inspiring to us all. So toward the end of his life in the last year, Andy started to feel his body failing on him. His internal organs started to shut down. He began to lose the strength of his legs. He was so weak he could barely get in and out of the car, but still he asked his family to drive him from Laguna Beach, where he was living, all the way to the village, a challenging drive for his body. But he loved Ananda so much, he really wanted to be here. And his mom said that he was so elated when they got to the Crystal Hermitage guest house that within 4 days he passed and surrendered into the next realm. I just think it's so beautiful that because Andy accepted this challenging karma with such grace, openness, and willingness, Divine Mother blessed him by passing on these sacred grounds right next to Swami's home and with all of us praying and thinking for him. So I know that we will continue to learn from his life over the years. The last attitude is unruffled patience. Swami said that patience is a prerequisite to every kind of success. If you can work with things as they are, you can then change them into whatever you want them to be. He also said that disappointment comes from wishing things were other than they are. And I think we've all had an experience where we were resisting what was trying to happen, and then finally when we accepted it, everything changed for the better. We've also heard that patience is the shortest path to God. This can sound kind of funny because patience often requires learning to wait for long periods of time. But we know that on the spiritual path, we're not waiting for God to come to us. He's already here. It is we who have to increase our awareness of his presence. He's right behind our thoughts, behind our every breath. And so we have to coax him to come to us through our love and devotion. Just as the beautiful chant says, patient endurance will bring us to victory. Once we have God, we will want nothing more. And there was a man who was having a very challenging period in his life, and he went to his spiritual counselor and said, I just don't have time to do my practices right now. I'm going through so much. I'm just exhausted. And his spiritual counselor said, this is the time when you need your practices the most. That help, that guidance, that deeper attunement to your guru, this is how you're going to get through these tests with his grace. And so I just like to close with the beautiful words of Masters from the song Keep Calling Him. Remain persistent, undepressed, through dark and seeming silence. If in the midst of life, disease, and death you play the dancer, yet keep calling him, you will receive his answer.